A lot of church websites, well, they're just not that great. That's what we're talking about on today's episode of Church Media HQ. Welcome to Church Media HQ. I am your host, Luke Clayton, and I'm glad you've joined me for today's episode. Well, a lot of church websites, they're struggling. And this past year, we've really learned how to put our focus on our online presence. And a lot of that, in terms of the church world, has gone to our online worship experiences. And that is really important. And we've dedicated a lot of episodes over the past few months to discuss that. However, I want to shift our focus to talk about something that may have kind of been overlooked in recent years, or recent months rather, or maybe not, depending on your church, and that is the church website itself. We're going to talk a little bit about church online. We're going to touch on that here later, but I want to talk about the overall online experience that your church is creating, specifically when it comes to its website. The first and foremost thing you have to realize, though, is that this requires a shift in your paradigm to the mindset that your website is for those who have never been to your church. While those who already are a part of your church will interact with your site, your church's website exists to reach outsiders, not those already in your church. And if I have to convince you of that, then just click skip on this episode, because that is the entire premise of what we are going to be discussing. Now, the second thing you have to realize is that your website should look good. The content we're going to go over here is not particularly going to address the importance of good design and aesthetic appeal, because I think this should already be understood. The unfortunate thing that we see is websites that look good, but they are really poor. They were still, from a messaging and content perspective, they're still very poorly designed. So you can have good aesthetics and good visuals, but still have a poorly designed website. In fact, a lot of websites in general are ineffective. We're not just picking, again, I always like to take that step back from time to time so that you understand I'm not just picking on churches. This is unfortunately something that just kind of dominates the website world in general, and that is poorly designed websites when it comes to functionality and the practicality of the person visiting. So as we get started, the first thing we want to discuss are some global rules. So these are some rules that really should apply to just about anything. They can apply to your website, but a lot of them can apply to your just promotional content in general. So when it comes to written content, the written content of your website in this case, less is more. Very few people are going to take the time to read more than just headlines and maybe a couple lines of text. So, writing long paragraphs, and yes, we'll talk about blogs and articles and maybe the place for those, but when we're talking about your general website information, less is more. You want to use photos of real people in your church if at all possible, and you want to show them smiling and enjoying your church. Stock images aren't always best, as they can convey a literal false image of your church. So you say, well, how do I do that? I don't have any photos. Well, I think the most practical thing you can do is hire a photographer to take quality photos of the people at your church at least once a year. I'm not talking about a church directory photo shoot. I'm talking about a photographer that comes in and takes candid photos. And I think this is an excellent investment. To do this at least once a year, you are going to see this pay off, because these photos can be used on your website, your promotional materials, and having some come in at least on a yearly basis is going to keep those images fresh, keep the new images, keep new images, if you will, kind of in your library, your catalog of things to access when it comes to developing promotion materials, updating your website. And so this is a great idea. And you want to make sure that these people are smiling. You want to get photos of people that are happy to be at your church. According to a study by a professor of psychology named Dr. Riggio, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, smiling coaxes the release of serotonin, which is a feel-good chemical. And this happens in the brain, both by the person smiling and by the observer. So when you see someone, think about that. I mean, just in a real situation, a face-to-face scenario where you're maybe interacting with someone, you have the when they smile or when they laugh, that can tend to be contagious. Smiling, seeing a smile makes you smile. Seeing someone happy in return typically makes you happy. And so this may seem like a really obvious thing, but you want to capture pictures of people that are smiling. And this is why if you have the right photographer, someone who's professional, it's not a bad idea to quote unquote stage some of these photos. Now, we don't want to stage them to the extreme that it truly looks fake, but we want to stage real life incidents. So for example, you have someone at, you know, passing, a, you know, taking their child and checking them into the kids class or kids program and, you know, getting, smiling and interacting with that child, that the children's worker or whatever it may be. That's something that you can gladly take it. You know, you can take a family and you can take that children's volunteer and you can have them interact kind of, hey, let's reenact that, if you will. And yes, it might seem a little bit uncomfortable. And again, you don't want it to seem too staged, but don't be afraid to stage some of this stuff to get the photos and videos that you might be looking for. I could think of times we've been on video shoots with other churches, and we've actually asked the pastor to preach to an empty auditorium and so that we could take some really nice close-up shots of him preaching. And that content almost always makes the cut of the video we're making and can even be used for great footage on the website as well. So this idea of having professional photos done at least once a year, I think, again, is a great investment because these photos can be used on your website. Well, you say, I just really can't afford that. And I understand there's a lot of churches out there that just doesn't seem feasible, because to get a good photographer, you're going to be paying $500, maybe $1,000 or more to get a good photographer who knows what they're doing. And so this is what I would say. I always say, well, see what you can do for free, and surely you or someone in your church has a nice smartphone. And smartphone cameras, as we know, have come a long way over the past decade. And you can take their smartphone, their iPhone or Android phone or whatever it may be, and you can get some really good photos and that are really, honestly, in many cases, very much acceptable for use on your website and promo materials. I'm thinking about portrait mode on iPhones in particular. If you take the right portrait mode shot, it really does look like it was shot on a professional camera. And so the key to taking good photography of any kind, but especially what they call iPhoneography, where you're shooting on your iPhone, is good lighting. As long as you've got good lighting, you should be able to capture some good photos. So that is a great place to start if you're unable to afford a professional. So when it comes to photos and videos, you really should avoid letting photos and videos be a dominant element of your promotional content, and in this case, your website. There is some exception to that, and we'll discuss that here later. But just remember, your church is obviously, you know this, your church is not a building, it's the people. And when you showcase and make it all about your building, all about your facilities, you can be unintentionally sending the wrong message. Another thing to consider as well is that whenever you showcase your buildings, if you've got maybe a larger building or a larger ministry with, you know, more expansive and maybe even impressive facilities, while that might seem impressive to some, it can seem very intimidating to others. And so showcasing your buildings might in some ways get people to maybe not consider your church. So just keep in mind that it should never be a dominant aspect. I'm not saying there's no place for photos or videos of your building in your promotional materials. Again, we'll kind of discuss that here later in your website, particularly where there's an acceptable place for that. But overall, it should be people smiling. It should be about people, not about buildings. And your website, the final global rule is that your website must, and it's not, it would be great if it was, or here's an idea. No, it's essential. Your website must, absolutely has to be mobile compatible. The percentage of users who are browsing the web on their phone is ever increasing. I don't even like giving a stat for this because it seems like every time I try to look up a stat, it's increasing. It's going up. I know that here a couple years ago, it was well over half. And at this time, I would say it's got to be the vast majority of people are using their phones predominantly to browse the web as opposed to a computer. And so you've got to make your website mobile compatible. For some of you out there, you're saying, well, duh, that seems really obvious. But there's others out there, believe it or not, there are still websites that exist, especially in the church world, that do not have a mobile compatible version. And I'm not saying you have to go and invest into a mobile version in particular of your site. That used to be the thing that you did. You went and you found somebody to develop a mobile specific website, if you will, for your phone. And whenever, you know, they detected that the visitor was trying to access your website from a phone, they would send you to the mobile version. That still exists, but it's not near as necessary or even effective anymore. There are so many ways to make what's called a responsive site that basically is designed to respond to the size of your screen. So whether it's a phone, an iPad, a laptop, or a desktop monitor, whatever it may be, it's going to display a version that's compatible and looks good on that particular device. And here's another big reason why you have to, when it comes to the mobile compatibility, why it is essential. Google announced just a few years ago that now they are going to be indexing websites in their search engine results based on if the site is mobile compatible or not. So if your site is compatible with mobile, it has a responsive version that's friendly to mobile devices, it's going to favor your website in search results. So nowadays, if you don't have a mobile friendly, it's going to be very, very difficult for people to discover you organically on Google and other search engines. So needless to say, your website cannot afford to not be compatible with mobile devices. So these are our global rules. Like I said, these for the most part can apply to just about any aspect of your promotional materials. And so those are the global rules. Now we're going to spend the next segment here talking a good bit about our homepage because the homepage is by far the most important. 95% of web visitors never make it past the first page that they land on. So all of your essential information should be included on the homepage. We're going to go over some of that essentials here in just a moment. And so this is something that's really important that you've got to make a priority. One of the big mistakes I see is a lot of what we're talking about, that stuff that should be included in some way on the homepage, just gets divided out into different pages on the website. And I'm not saying that some of these things don't need some type of dedicated page or website, but what we're going to go over is stuff that definitely needs to be mentioned, if nothing else, on your homepage, because if you don't, most people may never learn about it. So one of the most obvious, that seems the most obvious again, yet is often, I'm shocked and surprised how often it's overlooked, is the location of your church or your campus locations. This one may seem elementary, but it's shocking. Again, it's so shocking how many church websites make this hard to find. I just saw an ad for a church the other day, and I tapped on it there on, I think it was an Instagram ad. So I tapped on it. You know, I like to see, you know, kind of what churches are promoting, and I like to see their websites, and I nerd out on that kind of stuff. And so I was looking over their website, and this church in particular actually had a couple of different campuses, two campuses, I believe. They had a north campus and a south campus, I think. I kid you not, on the homepage, I could not find a physical address for either campus. And this was nor could I find some type of button that took me to the directions or to the you know, to a map or to something like that. And I thought, this is a huge oversight, because this particular ad I saw on Easter weekend, and I couldn't help but think how many you invested. It was a nice website. Everything else about it was good. It looked good. The ad itself was good. And this church invested, who knows, probably hundreds, if not thousands of dollars into these ads. And they are getting people that are even clicking, in my case, or tapping on the ad to look at it. But yet when they get there, the information that they need to get connected with that church is not there. And so this is huge. Now, yes, we're living in a world that seems to be ever shifting to some type of hybrid of digital and physical worship. And yes, that's a controversial thing. Some people like it. Some people don't, regardless of how you feel of it. It does seem to be happening. However, if physical ministry, if physically gathering is still a big part of your church, and it very likely is, then you need to let people know where they need to go and where that location is. You've got to include your physical address, the city and state, and all that good stuff. That has to be there on somewhere on your homepage. And this is where, when we talk about the locations, now this is where I would make kind of an exception when it comes to your buildings. It would be acceptable to have some small, again, you don't want to make it dominant, but some type of small photo of your building to accompany your addresses, of your location. This is so that visitors can have maybe a landmark to recognize and to look for, especially if you have a particularly nice building that kind of stands out, that is, maybe more recognizable. If your church is meeting in some type of storefront, or maybe it's not, so obviously, you don't have that obvious landmark that we're talking about, well, then you might want to consider embedding some type of Google Map or something so that people can see on a map and then go, oh, okay, your church is near that store and near that restaurant and on that street. It gives them a point of reference. I think that including one or both of those, at least one of those, is actually crucial, because the physical address, while it is important, that alone doesn't give the visitor enough reference to know where your church is at. So your campus locations, again, this is really big. For most of you, it's just one location, but even if you have multiple ones, obviously you need to make this a dominant aspect, and it needs to be something that's on your homepage. The next big, what should be obvious thing to be included on websites, but again, it is crazy how I have gone to websites and seen that, and it's become difficult to find this information. That is your Sunday and or weekend services. So this is, you want to emphasize your Sunday worship services over other things like Bible studies or small group programs, and here's why. The Sunday morning, or maybe if you have a Saturday service, these are going to be most churches, is typically more evangelistic, and it's geared towards someone who is new to church. And if you are a church that offers multiple service types throughout the week, you know what I'm talking about. And most people that don't go to church typically or haven't been in a while, they are accustomed to the Sunday tradition of church. In fact, a lot of churches offer, many churches that do offer some type of Saturday night service, a lot of times they're doing that and they're encouraging their regular attenders to go to the Saturday night service so that they can actually make room for those on Sunday. The most popular time to go to church is typically sometime around the 10 o'clock hour on Sundays. That's what most people are kind of used to. It tends to be, when you look at the metrics of churches, that tends to be the services that lie closest to that 10 o'clock hour tend to be the higher attended services. And so all that to say that regardless if people have gone to church before or they're new to the whole concept, it doesn't really matter. They are used to the idea that Sunday morning is, if you're going to do church, Sunday morning is the time to do it. And so you want to make that obvious on your site that is something you have available. And here's the truth about people that are visiting your site. Many people that are new, that are going to be visiting your church for the first time. They are what I like to call low to no commitment type people. And so they aren't necessarily coming to church and saying, hey, I'm in, I'm looking for a place I can go every week. Not necessarily. There might be some like that, but there are oftentimes people are saying, well, I haven't been to church in a while. It's a good thing to go to church. I always went to church growing up. I should go. And they go and they're just looking and saying, I'm just going to check in. I'm going to stop by, whatever. And a lot of times people are saying, you know what, I'm just going to visit. I'm going to see if this place is for me. They're not necessarily looking for, oh, a place that I can commit to and you know, and get fully engaged with and whatnot. So what we're getting at here is that when you feature these multiple service types and programs on your homepage, it can make it seem as if your church is some type of, you know, organization that might require the attendance to more than just the once a week. Now, a lot of churches have a model where their assimilation process, their process of getting people more connected with their church does involve multiple services during a week. You know, they might have some type of a, you know, in addition to the Sunday main services, they might have some type of a Sunday evening service as well, or they might have a midweek Bible study program or some type of day of the week that's set aside to have on-site services, small group Bible study type things. And all that is fine. However, when people come and they say, oh, they've got Sunday morning service and then they've got Sunday night service and Wednesday night service, oh man, these guys, man, they really are asking to go to church a lot, aren't they? And that can take these, again, most people that are unchurched are going to be the low to no commitment people. And that can get them to say, you know what, I might look into something else. So even if your church, I'm not saying being disingenuous, I'm not encouraging you to be non-authentic. There is a place for these other types of services, and we're going to discuss that here in just a moment. I'm talking about the homepage. I'm talking about what you feature, what you talk about as far as your main you know, offerings for church. Make your homepage dominant on those weekend services. So if it's just one Sunday service or multiple Sunday services, or like I said, you got some type of Saturday service, make that homepage all about those main service times. So that is your Sunday and weekend services, and just make sure you include it, because again, shocking how many people forget to include this on their website, or they make it very hard to find. This needs to be something that you find pretty early on the website. It needs to be kind of towards the top of the page, and so on. So anyways, I'll digress there because I think I've made my point. The next thing that we need to include that's a good idea to feature rather on your homepage is something about your latest sermons or series of sermons. So you could feature a graphic with a brief description about the sermons, about the sermon or the sermon series. A lot of times it's great to embed, you know, a link to the audio or the video of the latest sermon if you've got that available. They want to know what to expect, and we have spent time discussing this definitely before, but I have to park here for just a moment. People are not coming to church for the entertainment value. They're not coming to church just because they have nothing better to do. They're not coming looking for some type of, you know, attraction or some type of, you know, a thing that maybe that culture could offer them somewhere else. No, people that come to church are there for spiritual reasons, by and large. There's very few people that walk through the doors of the church expecting to get anything else other than maybe some type of spiritual, they're searching, if you will, spiritually for something. And your sermon is going to provide that spiritual nurturing that people are looking for. And so I think we do ourselves a huge disservice when we don't make our upcoming sermon and sermon series or current sermon series a part of our promotion. And your website is a great place to showcase that. So your latest sermon series, find a place for that on your website. Next is the kids programs. This is something that you're going to want to showcase on your website. Now, again, we've said less is more. We're not talking about having a huge, massive paragraph or whatever. I think it is great to have a landing page dedicated to the kids as well. Maybe that's something that's more kid-themed. I think that's a good idea as well. But we're talking about on the website. You just want to mention something about your kids programs. Showcase your 12 and under kids programs, and be sure to clarify that you have childcare during your services. I know that there are some churches, for example, they may not be able to offer, you know, certain levels of childcare during all services. You want to be upfront about that on the website. You want to be honest. If you're unable, for example, you've got an early service and you don't offer childcare during that early Sunday morning service, be honest about that. Say, hey, no childcare provided here. But, you know, it is provided in the later service. That way people know how to plan. The last thing you want is people showing up expecting their kids to have a place to go, and they don't. So you're going to want to showcase the kids program, because one of the top reasons that families choose to attend church is, in fact, based on their kids programs. According to a Barna study, 58% of Christian parents choose a church with their kids in mind. So, again, this is why we want to make a little featurette, a little plug about it somewhere on our homepage. So your kids programs, you want to feature that. Also, other things to keep in mind, it really depends on your demographic, on the culture of your community. For example, if you are a church that's in a big college town and you have some type of young adults ministry, might be good to feature that, your young adults or your student ministry there on your homepage as well. Definitely want to showcase what's there for 12 and under, but as far as going any older than that, that really depends on your demographic. Again, none of this should dominate your website or your homepage, rather. It should just simply have a place that states and gives a little bit of information about those ministries. The next thing to include is a call to action. Your site should prompt visitors to take their next step. For someone who has never been to your church, you got to think about what this is. So let's think about this. You got somebody, here's always the way I like to paint it. People come to your website and they see, what's the first thing they see? Well, the first thing they should see is a nice call to action section. They shouldn't see, I'm going to take a moment here to go on a small little rabbit. I'm just going to chase that rabbit right over there. They should not see a slider. I hate sliders. Sliders are the bane of a website design. Sliders scream, this church was designed in the 2000s or by somebody who can't get over the design of the 2000s. Church sliders, they usually kind of are messy in general, especially on mobile. I know a lot of them. They have these super cool animations, and I've seen them. They do all these little flips and rotations, and honestly, as somebody who has designed websites before, I could see how it's easy to get caught up in the coolness of it all. But the truth is that it can tend to create a lot of confusion and kind of chaos when they come to the site. So, no sliders. If you've got a slider on your website, a rotating carousel, whatever you want to call it, get rid of it today. All right? Just pause right now, log into your website editor, get rid of that thing. What were we going to put in its place? Well, here is the ideal website header, if you will, the top banner, whatever you want to call it, that top section of your website. This is the section that is above the fold, if you will. When we talk about the newspapers, the newspapers, and they still use this term to this day, that's where we steal it from. When you get a newspaper, which I personally have not done very often, sorry, I'm a millennial. We don't use newspapers very often. But when you get a newspaper, it's often folded in half. If it's not rolled up, it's often folded in half. And there on that front fold reads the headline of the day, the main pictures, the main story, all that stuff. And they're trying to hook you with what's above the fold, because in the newspaper world, that's what people are going to look up. If they like the headline, they'll pay for their copy of the paper and they'll go on and read it. Well, we've stolen that term and we started using website, and we talk above the fold. And above the fold is simply anything that you see before you scroll down, whether that's on your desktop or on your phone. So let's talk about, what we're talking about here is that above the fold header. First of all, it does not need to be a lot. I know some of you just thought, well, just like a newspaper, let's put as much information as possible above the fold. Absolutely not. And the biggest reason is because of mobile compatibility. What's clear on a desktop canvas, or what can fit, if you will, on a desktop canvas, can't fit also on a mobile phone. And so for that reason, and the other reason is just sheer clarity. We don't want to confuse people. The biggest mistake you can do is overcrowding any type of design canvas, whether it's digital or print. I know a lot of people, they think, well, I just want to give as much information as possible. I got this one chance to get all this information out. And they just want to, they just want to pack it all in there. I get that, but you have to overcome that, and you have to realize less is more. You want to be simple. You want to be concise. You want to be clear. So in this case, on your website, what do you put there? What is at the top of your homepage? Well, we're going to talk about that in the next episode, but I want to encourage you of this. If you want to keep watching, if you don't want to if you don't want to have to wait until next week when we drop this next episode, you can continue this content now completely free. All you got to do is head over to churchmediahq.com/web. That's churchmediahq.com/web. And enter your information there, and we will send you a link to the full teaching here. No breaks. You don't have to wait week to week for the new content to be released. We got quite a bit more to cover, and we are going to be releasing that in upcoming episodes. But if you don't want to wait, you can still access this completely free, churchmediahq.com/web, and you can access the full teaching here. This full coaching session is available completely free. Just head over to churchmediahq.com/web. And for everybody else, I'll see you next week as we continue to talk about how you can improve your website. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. Executive producer and host is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you, whether it's with your website or with something else, it's time for you to try something new. Why? Well, because it is so much better to fail at trying the incredible than to succeed at doing the average. We'll see you next time here on Church Media HQ.